What is up, everyone? Hope you guys are all doing amazing. My name is Sahil, and I am a second year UBC Medical School student. And in today's video, we'll be talking to my good friend and med colleague, Nathan Chenmak, and we'll be chatting about his journey into medicine as a non-traditional applicant. But first, let's cue the intro. Alright guys, welcome back. If this is the first video that you're watching of mine, I want to say a big thank you and welcome to our YouTube community. On this channel, I like to make health and fitness videos, medicine related vlogs, travel videos, and other fun videos just like this one. Now, before we go any further, please do make sure to go smash the like button and the subscribe button because, I mean, why not? You get to see new videos of me every Saturday at 10 a.m. and like, what could be a better Saturday morning video to watch than your local Vancouver med student videos? That's the best. And with that being said, I do want to preface this video by saying that any of the thoughts shared in this video are either my own or Nathan's, and we are not representing or speaking on behalf of any MD admissions committee in Canada or America or anywhere in the world for that matter. So please keep that in mind as you continue to watch this video. Now, with that out of the way, let's get right into the video. Like I said, in today's video, we'll be interviewing my good friend Nathan Chenmak and just talking to him about his journey into medicine and addressing some of the really common questions that I get from you guys who are thinking of jumping into medicine or who are in careers and not sure if medicine is for you. And just want to get some more information what it's like going as a non-traditional pre-med student into medicine. So Nathan has a very interesting story, and with that being said, let's go hear from him. Let's go. Thanks so much for agreeing to do this, man. I know you probably have a schedule too. So.
Yeah. No, thanks. Thanks. I'm happy to talk and share my experiences. So. Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. I think one of the most common questions I get from med students on my YouTube channel is just how it's like to be a non-trad applicant. And most of the time, I have no experience with that. So I always try to refer people to like people who've gone through this. And I thought, might as well make a video on this. So that's how we're going to go with this. First things first, Nathan, why don't we start off talking a little bit about what you were doing before medicine?
Sure. So a little bit about me. I graduated in 2016 from UVic. I did a kinesiology degree. And then before medicine, I was working for several years. I worked as a kinesiologist. And then I worked at a chronic pain clinic. And in that time, I also got married and was starting a family kind of thing. And so that was what I was doing. Took several years off to kind of work things out. And then I was applying for medicine and eventually got in after 3 years. So
definitely. And like, what caused that shift in you? Like, how did you know that you want to go into medicine from kinesiology?
Yeah. Well, so I was like volunteering at a kinesiology clinic, kind of throughout my undergrad, and then I ended up working there as well. And just throughout my time there, I was like talking with a lot of the kinesiologists and like physios that were there, and just through my experience with that, I knew I wanted to be in healthcare, and you know, I just really liked having that relationship with the client and using stuff that I know had learned in university to help people, and I just felt a little bit, I guess, limited as a kinesiologist, and I was just talking with physios as well. It's like, it can be, you know, the scope isn't, when you think about it, it's a lot of largely these like MSK stuff, and the scope of practice is just larger with medicine. You're able to do more. So I just decided to go for it. I didn't really think about medicine like going into undergrad, because I just thought it was too hard to get in. I didn't have the personality for it, maybe, and just never really pursued it. So,
So just kind of because of the scope that medicine has, and it just felt like the next step for you?
Yeah, that was probably the biggest thing, I would say. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. And when was your first time taking MCAT then?
I did my undergrad. It took me like 5 years, and I did it in my last year, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, so I think it was 2015, like the summer of 2015, perhaps.
What was that experience like? I guess at that time, you weren't really like a non-traditional applicant because you were doing it right after undergrad, right?
Yeah, I wasn't like it's tough to say. I'm not like a, you know, I wouldn't really call myself like a true like non-trad in the sense of like the timeline. Mm-hmm. I think what makes me more different is just like the family aspect and having a kid and stuff. So that feels different. But in terms of like the actual timing and stuff, I started a little bit late and I didn't really know that I wanted to do it like right away. But mm-hmm. I did it in my like the summer before my last year, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. And then the application process, how was that like for you?
Yeah. So I applied three times. Took me three times. So the first year, I had an interview for UBC and U of T, didn't get in. Second year, I just got UBC interview, again, didn't get in. And then this is the third year. I was actually also thinking of applying for like OT mm-hmm. as well. And so I got in and accepted that, but then I interviewed at UBC that year as well, and then got into UBC. So it took 3 years.
What was the time frame? Was that like all year after year?
Yeah, with all year after year, I think it was like 2016, 2017, 2018, I believe. Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so you applied in 2018 and you got married in 2017, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're working as a kinesiologist in 2016. Do you think that affected your application at all? Like managing work and then managing like your other family responsibilities?
I think it affects. I mean, it definitely makes. I think it definitely matured me, I guess, like, and it maybe helped me more realize that I really wanted to actually go for this, and that I just knew more about myself going into the application process, like specifically the interview. Mm-hmm. Like that was like for me, that was the biggest hurdle. Just like, do I actually really want to do this? And getting the confidence to actually believe in myself. And mm-hmm. So like those like getting married and was just a big. I mean, yeah, it helped me grow a lot. I wouldn't just, yeah. So, it was a time to like really I see myself mature, looking back on it, and learn more about myself. And know more about myself going into the application process.
Definitely, I think one of the things I've spoken about on this channel is just like being more aware and in tune with yourself, especially for like. Application process, whether that's doing the actual application or the interviews.
Yeah.
So I guess just having that extra time after like finishing your undergrad just kind of helped you reflect more.
It definitely did.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think when I first started pursuing it, I was like, I didn't really know what it meant to be like a physician. So just trying to think about it more, like, do I actually really want to do this? Especially getting rejected the first couple times, is like, this is something really worth, you know, pursuing year after year. And so it really just makes you think about the reasons why you want to do it. And then I think it just makes you a stronger applicant that way, like trying to sort that out and work through that.
Definitely just figuring out like what your why is, right? Like why.
Yeah.
For sure. And so like applying three times, what was it like coping with that? Obviously there's like on one side coping with the resilience, the fact that you have to apply again. And is trying to make sure you don't make the same mistakes you did previously. And half the battle is not even knowing what mistakes you made, right? But did it ever like affect you thinking that, hey, maybe because I'm a non-traditional applicant, or maybe because I'm married, like these guys haven't like a leg up on me, or because like, because I'm working and they're not working, or something like that? Did that mm-hmm. ever affect you?
To be honest, yeah. I mean, honestly, it did kind of creep into my mind. Like I was, I think, especially like my first year, I got two interviews. I wasn't really expecting, and so I just kind of figured like I would get that many the next year, and I didn't. I didn't get an interview back to like U of T, for example, and just because I was married, it was like not wanting to spend all my extra time working on my CV, like doing research. Like I needed to pay the bills, and not that other people don't, but I just had to like try to figure things out, and so I didn't have as much free time to work on extracurriculars, or if I wanted to pursue a master's degree to strengthen my CV or anything like that, like I didn't really do that. So it was a bit it's just, I guess you have to just trust in yourself, and it did help that I had gotten interviews in the past, that I knew I had gotten a pretty strong application, but you don't want to fall behind. And I did feel like, oh, my window may be closing a bit. So
how did you like cope with that feeling? besides just trusting in yourself? Like, how does someone get to that point of just like trusting in yourself, you know?
Yeah, I think one thing was hearing other people's stories of getting in. Like, one of my mentors at the kinesiology clinic, he was probably a true non-traditional applicant. He was like in his mid-30s, I think. And just kind of hearing or just seeing other people go through it and like seeing them not have to like kind of bend over backwards and switch up their life just to pursue medicine. Like, they're still able to enjoy whatever they wanted and pursue their passions. And just try not to put all of your stock and identity into being a medical school applicant. Like, that was just seeing other people do that was, I think that was very helpful. Yeah.
So just finding a mentor and being able to see the seeing how they got through it and finding like the similarities, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of like online communities as well where people share, their stories of how they got in and being older or are getting into medical school. Yeah, at a later age. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay. Another question that I actually have is, now that you're in medical school, what was it like having your first child a month into medical school? I can't even imagine balancing, but it's difficult balancing medical school as it is, but I can't imagine taking care of another child, another human being. How do you
know? It was a lot of coffee, but I mean, so the thing is with UBC, like, I'm in the Victoria program on the island. So I'm guessing your followers know that there's different distributed stuff. So, but the first semester I was in Vancouver while my wife gave birth in Victoria, which is like 2-hour commute away over a ferry. So I was actually away for the first 3 months, and that was extremely tough. Especially for, mostly for my wife. I was kind of living like the single bachelor life, studying all day and just working all, doing schoolwork all day, but being apart was really tough. And then, coming home, when I came back to Victoria, you just have to kind of manage it, like not take school too heavy. Like, a big part of it is that realizing that it's just like pass or fail. So, you got to know the material, obviously. You got to work your butt off to learn it. But the pressure of getting as high a mark as possible, it was my standards were lower than maybe someone else that's not in my situation. You still need to know the work and take it seriously. But.
Yeah, man. Well, you're doing great so far. So I don't think your standards were lower than anyone. We all made it, man. Another question that I frequently get from people watching my videos about non-traditional applications is just like, do you feel like there's any judgments towards you in medical school? Like considering that you're not, you don't have the same free time as everyone else, like you're not able to like go hang out with everyone else. Like,
right.
If that happens.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No. That's actually, it definitely is, with my situation, that's definitely applicable. I think the concerns were, one, being able to like make the connections with my classmates to hang out with them and want to have that bond with them. You're gonna be with them for the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's kind of COVID kind of hit, so we were kind of forced to not really hang out anyways, but I did, you do your best, you try, and people, they're very, like, your classmates can be really understanding too, so that hasn't really been too much of an issue. It's been just a weird year for that, but I think secondly, it's like I was worried about not being able to have enough time to do like shadowing or different research or extracurricular activities to make your resume look good for residency.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think one big thing was just talking with the regional dean here on the island, just basically saying schools don't really, unless you're really trying to go for something super competitive, like it really is all just about your performance in the hospital, like during school, extracurricular time. So, and your references. So those two things kind of helped me cope with that, I guess, with that specific aspect of, missing out on boosting your resume, I guess you would say, or shadowing.
Yeah. But not really too much of the whole idea that being judged or anything.
No, definitely, yeah. Just especially for my classmates, like none of that ever. Like, they're always so understanding, and like when I do show up, they're you know happier than ever that I'm able to join. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned earlier that like you have a really supportive spouse, but like besides that, do you have any tips for balancing like med school with life? I know like this is like a question that everyone asks med students, but I mean like we don't have a kid we're looking after, or at least I don't have a child we're looking after. So like how are you balancing like everything with med school?
I try and be very just focused during the time that I need to be focused, and like when I look at my schedule like for the next upcoming week, I just try and like pick up the spots, like this is when I'm going to do work and this is when I'm done, and like when I'm actually done, like be done and try my best to be present with whoever I'm with. That's, you know, that's very challenging, but just trying my best to be mindful that like you don't have to be working all the time, and like you are always going to be feeling like you're drowning in schoolwork in med. So basically having like just setting a schedule for me is very helpful, and I actually try not to do at least one of the weekend days, like try not to do any homework at all, just to be able to like rest your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So just being really diligent with the schedule and managing your time well is just a huge skill that's very important for someone in my situation.
I agree, man.
And everyone in med school.
Oh, sorry, what was that?
Just like and any med student, like yeah, you just got to be good at managing.
Yeah,
time.
I was just gonna say that again because I feel like that's something that like, any med student in general needs to be doing, right? Just like following, making sure that they're doing whatever they're doing and being fully present there and having a really good schedule. And I do do that because like you can make the best schedule in the world, but if you're not following it strictly, then at what point? So
yeah, and it's also helpful to like talk with your classmates, and like when you realize they're struggling just as much as you're struggling in certain parts of the year, it's like, you know, you're all in it together, like y'all gonna make it through and everything will be okay.
Totally, man. I agree. Those are some great points, man. Those are all the questions that I had for you. Is there anything else or like any tips that you want to give to like a non-traditional applicant watching this who might be in a similar situation as yours, or even like someone who's thinking of making that jump into medicine but they're not sure whether they're old for it or whether they've been doing their career for so long, whether they should make that jump or not? Is there any tips you have?
Yeah, I guess like it really is never too late. Like, there are people that are, you know, in med school in their 40s or 50s and, you know, complete 180 turn. I think also just like a big thing to keep in mind is that being a non-traditional applicant, I think it's like a really good strength to have. You know, it shouldn't be something that holds you back at all. I think a lot of schools actually, you know, they put a lot of weight into that, like being non-traditional and having your unique experiences is what's going to make you stand out, you know, on your application and interviews, and you know, shape who you are as a person. So just to keep that in mind, that's a big strength. Yeah,
definitely, never too late, and keep going, right? If you believe
you
can do it,
and like
you believe in yourself, and there's no reason you can't do it.
Yeah, and like you eventually, if you just with medicine, if you just keep persisting and keep going, like you will get in. Like it's, if you really want it, like, you know, might take a couple years, like, or 3 years, like it did for my situation, but like you will get in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Actually, speaking on that, AJ actually mentioned a really great quote, and I mentioned it in my previous video as well, and it really resonates with me. He said, it's not a matter of will I get in, it's a matter of when I get in. So I always try to sprinkle that in every video just so everyone watching this can know that if you really want it, you can get in. It's not a question of, hey, am I good enough? It's a question of, hey, when will I get
in? Exactly.
I think that summarizes everything we talked about today.
Yeah.
That's everything I wanted to talk about, Matt. Thank you so much for your time. Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
No, that's great. I was happy to share my experience, and thanks for having me on the channel.
Of course, Matt. Pleasure. We'll have you on here again soon.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Alright guys, and just like that, we are finished today's video. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and if you did, please don't forget to like, share, comment, and subscribe. It would mean so much to me. This was my first time filming a video podcast like this, so if you guys like it, do let me know, and I'll bring more people onto this channel, because I mean, this whole channel, this whole community is about growing together and answering your guys' questions. So if you guys liked it, we'll go from there. And like I said, guys, hope you guys stay smiling. I hope you guys learned something and found this video of value. And until next time, tons of peace, love, and gains for you. Coming back around like lasso, macro, macro, like a vision board I see with clarity. I hustle like my name is Gary V. For more than the wealth and prosperity, accountants was talking about equity. I'm Triple H giving a pedigree, and meaning I'm special, my specialty. I'm putting the work till I'm dirt in the earth. I'm moving furniture to Beverly.